Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on The Savage Nation. What a day it is. Just when you think this vicious president can't get lower, just when you think this gang has done all the damage it can do, just when you think you've seen everything that could be done by an illegitimate presidency, something new happens to literally stop your heart. Welcome to The Savage Nation. The headline is a shock. Just before showtime, we learned, and you're not going to believe this, that Obama is willing to crucify a sitting U.S. senator from his own party simply because the senator disagreed with him on Iran getting nuclear weapons. Let me repeat that. This has to be the most vicious fanatic in the history of the presidency. He is willing to crucify a Democrat senator simply because the senator disagreed with him on Iran getting nukes. Now, he's not going to prosecute Senator Menendez for disagreeing with him. That would be too overt. That would be too much like the Soviet Union. Instead, what they've done is they've held over his head for quite a while now some charges of him accepting illegal campaign donations. And there's no question they held it over his head to keep him in line. But back in January of this year, Senator Menendez didn't agree with President Zero. I want you to listen to what Senator Menendez said about President Zero's view on Iran on January 2015.
The more I hear from the administration and its quotes, the more it sounds like talking points that come straight out of Tehran. And it feeds to the Iranian narrative of victimization when they are the ones with original sin. An illicit nuclear weapons program going back over the course of 20 years that they are unwilling to come clean on. So I don't know why we feel compelled to make their case.
That's Senator Menendez, a Democrat, a liberal Democrat from New Jersey, who simply disagreed with the president and Iran. And so for several years now, the feds have been hanging over his head some corruption charges. They haven't gone after him until now. So why would Eric Holder, one of the gang, prepare a criminal corruption complaint against Senator Bob Menendez and drop it on him right now? Tell me why Barack Obama would suddenly do this. It's to punish him because he led on to the fact that Obama's selling Israel and America down the river with Iran. But, you know, this proves a bigger point, and I want you to follow the bouncing ball. This proves that Obama was blackmailing Menendez all along. Let me repeat that. They held the charges over his head since 2010. Investigators have focused in part on plane trips Menendez took in 2010 to the Dominican Republic as a guest of an individual. And in 2013, after word of the federal investigation became public, Menendez paid back the donor $58,000 for the 2010 plane trips, calling his failure to properly disclose the flights an oversight. How many other senators fly on planes that they don't own? How many times has Nancy Pelosi flown on the Google jet? Do you know anything about that? Do you know anything about the wedding? Do you know anything about the Pelosi wedding party that flew up to the wedding grounds on the Google jet? Same thing. Did she pay them back? Maybe she did. I could be mistaken. But in this case, Dem Senator Menendez did something like this. It's actually a very minor crime compared to what the other Democrats are doing. And interestingly enough, Menendez is one of the highest-ranking Hispanic members of Congress. He is a former chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He has become one of the president's most vocal opponents on two key foreign policy matters: President Zero's decision to ease the trade embargo against the prison island of Cuba, and President Zero's desire to give Iran the ability to develop a nuclear weapon under the guise of, you know what, whatever the latest flavor is of lying. And so they went after him today. And it proves, in my thinking, that Obama was blackmailing Menendez all along. Probably telling him, look, man, you stay in line or we're going to drop the hammer on you. But Menendez apparently has a strong belief in these things, and he said what he thought. So that leads us to the next question today on the Savage Nation radio program. Who else is this gang blackmailing? Who else is Obama and the sorority blackmailing right now, which would explain the behavior of an awful lot of them? It might explain why Boehner is biting his lip behind Pelosi's wig. Who else are they blackmailing? It might explain some decisions going back to Obamacare and the shock decision on the Supreme Court. There are rumors running about that Roberts has been blackmailed for a number of years. Remember that? Anyone remember that little story? Of course, we're just talking here. I mean, aren't we just talking here? We don't know for sure. We're just a small fry here in the world. We have no power. We have no influence. We have no connection to anything. But we, the people, do have one thing going for us. You know what that is? Common sense. And common sense has not yet been outlawed by this illegitimate regime. So now we see this, the most vicious fanatic in the history of the presidency, willing to crucify a Democrat liberal senator simply because this senator stepped out of line with him on Iran getting nukes. This proves that Obama was blackmailing Menendez all the time. Now, who else is this administration blackmailing? It's frightening to listen to this. You know, as this goes on, Obama and Holder and the gang continue to spew the racial hatred that they're famous for to divide the nation racially. Again, Selma all over again. Again, the march on the bridge. When will they stop? Tell me when they're going to stop with this nonsense. How many years do we have to put up with this? How many years after integration? How many years after the Great Society? How many years after trillions of dollars of reparations will we be listening to this rubbish about America being a racially discriminatory nation? It's utterly unbelievable to me to see what this mean administration is doing to this country, decimating it at every turn. How much longer can this country last with this going on? Taking over health care, taking over the internet, flooding America with illegal aliens, calling them part of today's civil rights movement, seizing and eliminating certain ammunition. What will this administration do next? Has the nation and its will to survive deteriorated so much that they cannot stand up to him? Well, these are some of the questions that we're asking on the Savage Nation today. Here's another one from the military that'll really get you sick. I mean, you want to get sick? Here, get sick. Here, get sick. Air Force announces diversity and inclusion initiatives to recruit more women. Gender-neutral standards for all jobs. Listen to this. They don't want the best and the brightest pilots. What they want is diversity and inclusion. The so-called United States Air Force announced initiatives to recruit and retain more women and minorities. As Air Force so-called Secretary Deborah Lee James, who so far as I know has never flown a paper airplane, warned that those who choose to not understand diversity and inclusion will not thrive in the service. Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil, snap your heels! Snap your heels! The little fascist has arrived. You do not understand diversity and inclusion. You do not survive my Air Force. Now listen to the changes now from this little martinet. The changes include giving women shorter than 5'3" waivers so they can meet the height requirements to become pilots, and gender-neutral standards for all jobs. So they're not interested now in the bravest, smartest people who can fly in combat. They're interested in a show and tell. You see, there's a lack of women and minorities at the Air Force's higher levels. Now, that's not because they're not qualified as well as those who have achieved the positions. It's because of racism and bias, according to the psychos in this college regime. So the psychos in the college regime are rolling out 9 initiatives focusing on recruitment, promotions, and retention. You see, women make up 19% of the Air Force, but they're twice as likely as men to cut their military careers short. And furthermore, we learn both women and people of color are underrepresented in the pilot ranks. Now, that could also be because women and people of color can't meet the standards to become a pilot. Isn't that not true? That is not to say that there aren't women and people of color who can become pilots. So what they're going to do now is lower the qualifications and blame it on a male-oriented military culture and rigid regulations and laws. So in other words, it doesn't matter if you can't fly a plane anymore. What matters is that you look good in the pilot seat sitting on the ground in the new world order of Obama's imagination. The initiatives were announced on Wednesday to coincide with Women's History Month. And the Secretary of the Air Force, Deborah Lee James, laid out the plan during a Women and Leadership and National Security Conference in Washington, D.C. You thought this administration had gone so far they couldn't go any farther. You have no idea the mental disorder of liberalism. You haven't any idea that it would sacrifice itself for its false ideology. The same way the Lysenko affair explained to the world that Soviet science would pervert science itself to push a Soviet form of science. These are hardcore Stalinists who will destroy all of us unless they are stopped. And there is only one way to stop them, and that is at the ballot box. We did that in November. We voted in a new party, and we got shafted by Boehner and McConnell and the leadership. There is only one solution, which is to throw Boehner out and bring in the Tea Party. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Welcome back to Radio Free America, the Savage Nation. One of the last free voices in the electronic media is the one you're listening to. And letting these gangs, or this gang that's running America off the rails, get away with it any further, may be a point of no return. I told you that I was going to think about, that if I were president in the imaginary world that I live in, what's the first thing I would do to save this country? The first thing I would do is I would fire everyone above captain level who rose in the ranks above the captain level in any branch of the military during the Obama regime. I would throw them out of the military. And I would seek out all of those who have been purged by Obama above the captain level or who quit because of persecution above the captain level. And I would give them any bonus necessary, including a presidential writ of apology to get them back into the military. I would rank things according to national security first. So that's where I would begin. There are many other things I would do. I make a list of 50. Now we wake up and it gets even worse. I warned you things were going to get worse when I saw who we appointed as Air Force Secretary and Navy Secretary. Deborah Lee James, so far as I know, never flew an airplane. Yet she's Secretary of the Air Force. So the first thing she started yakking about was sexual harassment in the military. That's how she got where she is. She pushed her way to the top screaming about sexual harassment and this and that. You know the game. You know how it works. So she pushed her way to the top. So why should she stop now? So now she's pushing her insanity onto the entire Air Force. So now she's going to change the requirements to be a pilot, which will include giving women shorter than 5'3" waivers so they can meet the height requirements to become pilots. So someone asked me just now, are they going to give waivers to men shorter than 5'3" so they can become pilots? Because you don't want to exclude a shorty, a male shorty. Maybe there's a male shorty, 5'1", who could be a great fighter pilot. So this is not a joke. It gets even crazier. This lunatic attributed the imbalance of women or minorities as pilots to a male-oriented military culture. You hear this insanity? Rigid regulations and laws. So this psychopathic affirmative action woman wants to rewrite the laws, change the regulations, and make certain that the white males who can fly planes are pushed out of the Air Force. When is it going to stop? When does this snowball of insanity come to a conclusion? When does this snowball of insanity finally get melted down? When? When do the men stand up to this and say, enough is enough, we're not taking it anymore? We are the Republican Party. We were put in power in November. You're stopping today. We're going to impeach you. They could do it. They have the power to do it yesterday. Are you kidding? the lick lipper. Boehner, the lick lipper, is going to do it. Yeah, there's a picture on the Drudge Report that is so telling. It shows Nancy Pelosi with the little boy behind her, Boehner, licking his, biting his upper lip as Mama Pelosi leads the charge against the Republican Tea Party and the conservatives. It says it all. That one picture says it all. It's unbelievable to me how this man holds on to his job. He should just resign in shame and take the turkey gobbler with him. But the big story today is that Obama's now purging the Democrat Party of any critics. It's unheard of, by the way. And he's using the FBI as his own personal prosecutorial agency against even his own party members. This is even more shocking, that the FBI has become nothing but a tool of this administration against anyone who stands in this man's way. So the FBI, and from the so-called Justice Department's Public Integrity Section, isn't that a joke? The day the Justice Department's Public Integrity Section looks into Dianne Feinstein's business dealings and contract steering allegations, then I'll know that there's such a thing as a Public Integrity Section. So they've now persecuted Menendez. He himself has called the probe part of a smear campaign against them. You know, I think that Menendez can use the backing of the American people right now. I think that Menendez can use the backing of the Republican Party right now. I think that Menendez, most importantly, should get the Congressional Hispanic Caucus behind him. But you and I both know that the Congressional Spanish Caucus is a caucus in name only. It's used only to push the illegal alien agenda. They will not only not back Menendez, I can guarantee you that his so-called friends with Latino surnames will not only back him, they'll throw him under the bus. As fast as you can say, well, pick the name you want. As fast as you can say Fidel Castro. How's that? Does that work for you?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Celebrate the march at Edmund Pettus Bridge is because it didn't just open up the doors for black folks. It wasn't just about black folks. It was about America and who we are. Everybody has opportunity. And you know, the fact of the matter is that when it comes to immigration, we're a nation of immigrants.
Duh.
The idea that we would discriminate against people with different sexual orientations.
Here we go again.
You know, the basic concept was everybody has to be treated equally under the law.
And since when aren't they? Tell me since when they haven't been treated equally under the law. But again, it's one of these false arguments that this man keeps using. So he goes on some stooges show on I don't know what radio show, some stooge show with five listeners in the Justice Department, run on satellite radio that nobody listens to, a bomb show, and he says that illegal immigrants today are part of today's civil rights movement. Well, let me remind you of something. Illegal immigrants have a word in the word immigrant called illegal. They're not immigrants. They're illegal aliens who have violated our laws and come here illegally and are breaking the nation. And they're only being catered to by Obama and the illegitimate socialist left because they're seeking a majority because most Americans are up to their tricks. Why do you think they're flooding America with 30 million illegal aliens as quickly as they can? Or will it be 50 million illegal aliens by the time 2016 rolls around and Evita Perón runs for office? Why is it do you think they're doing it? It's because most Americans who work for a living are seeing right through them. They despise them. They went to the polls in November and threw them out. They know that. So what they're doing is doing an end run around the electorate itself. They're doing something that is totally illegal. They're flooding America with illegal aliens simply to build up a new voter base of third worlders who don't even know what the hell they're saying to them as long as they get citizenship and a pathway to freebies and Obama handouts, they'll vote Democrat for 1,000 years. You would say, well, that shouldn't be allowed. It isn't allowed. It's called breaking the law. But when you who will watch the watchers is the question. The Romans ask the same question. The FBI is supposed to watch out for this. But it's not an FBI anymore. It's not an independent branch of government. It's a wholly owned subsidiary of the administration that's now running the country off the rails. Anyway, these are some of the topics, but it gets even more interesting when we now listen to someone we haven't heard from in a while. Here she comes again. Out of nowhere, here comes Michelle Obama in clip 3.
fact, every year, roughly one in five adults, or more than 40 million Americans, experience a diagnosable mental health condition like depression or anxiety.
Here we go.
And our young people are affected at similar rates.
Here we go.
These conditions touch folks of every age, every background. There are kids, our grandparents, our friends, neighbors, coworkers, and yes,
what's the solution?
Our veterans.
So why is the first family pushing mental health treatment as part of Obamacare? Why don't you listen to clip six and you'll get the bottom line on this. Go ahead, go to six.
That's why the Affordable Care Act expands mental health and substance abuse benefits and parity protections to roughly 60 million Americans.
Are you listening to this?
It requires new plans to cover things like depression screenings for adults, behavioral assessments for kids.
Behavioral assessments for kids. Brave new world. Some perverted government shrink is going to assess your child for behavior. And if your child's a little too American, he might be put in, they may red flag him. Or if your boy is a little too boy, they may red flag the boy. Or if your girl is too much of a girl, she may get red flagged as being too hetero. This is sickening. This is just sickening. Now, let me ask you something. Who is going to pay for this mental health care? Who is going to pay for this substance abuse care? You know, sometimes when I'm flipping the channels, I watch a show called Intervention. You know what I like to do with most of the junkies? I see they're crying. I can't even tell you on the radio show what I like to be done with them. I sit and I watch these weak, sick creatures. I have no compassion for them whatsoever. And the whole family, they come to a motel room and, John, here's your family. And there's the mother with the tissue. And there's the father with the tissue in the hand. And they're weeping over this useless garbage of a family member. He's going to go to treatment. Yeah. And they clap for the junkie. The junkie goes into treatment. They show him crying when he goes into the treatment. Those things cost $30,000 a week. You're paying for it, you idiot. I love all these treatment facilities. How long do they usually last when they come out? Tell me how long they last before they go back to the drugs or the alcohol or whatever their addiction is. Anyone know what the recidivism rate is? Raise your hand if you know the recidivism rate. It's a revolving door. It's the latest appetite in America now is for the treatment center. You know, I sit and watch it. I say, how come I'm working every day, sweating my behind off here from 6 o'clock in the morning to late at night doing a radio show? Look at these people. They do nothing. Group therapy, holistic food, yoga, meditation, sex in the other room with another junkie that they found over there that has nothing to do with her time. And you're paying for that. That's treatment today. That's treatment facility. I'm a little from the old Dutch uncle school of treatment. You know, you have a junkie in the family, throw him out of the house and let him fend for himself. It's that simple. That's the only treatment I know works. It's called cold turkey. And you ask anybody who's ever been addicted, the only thing that works is cold turkey. Catering to them only makes them worse. They're all con men. That's why they're addicts to begin with. All addicts are con men. They're all looking for sympathy, and they'll con you until the end of the earth. You ask anyone in the doctoring profession who the toughest addicts are to treat, and you know who they are? They're not heroin addicts. They're alcoholics. The alcoholic is the most difficult person to treat because they're self-indulgent, they're liars through and through, and they'll manipulate you until the end of the earth. There's no treatment for alcoholism except one treatment, and that is self-treatment, the desire to stop drinking. And until that person has a desire to stop drinking, they won't stop drinking. So it's a waste of money as far as I'm concerned, only it's going to add to the cost of this Obamacare Frankenstein anyway. So that's where we're at now. Affordable care they're pushing now this week for junkies and substance abuse and this abuse and that abuse. When has the Obama administration passed a bill that would expend any money on the exceptional in America? Not the downtrodden, not the junkie, not the substance abuser. No. How about the exceptional child with a very high IQ who is not challenged enough in school because they're catering to the stupid ones in the classroom? Tell me where those classrooms are today for the gifted. Has Obama spent any money on gifted children? Has there been any money earmarked for the gifted child? I doubt it. You see, it's called the lowest common denominator. This is how Animal Farm rules. You keep sinking the classroom lower and lower and lower. You keep catering to the lowest common denominator. You let the smart child sit there rotting away in the classroom until he finally gives up and doesn't learn anything. Or she gives up and doesn't learn anything. Do you know how many bright people I have met in my life who never went to college? They're smarter than most college graduates. And it's not because they didn't have the brains. It's because they were 10 times smarter than the teacher themselves. But nobody found that out. They couldn't find it out because there were no gifted programs, no gifted classes, no teachers sent into the schools to seek out the gifted, no child psychologists sent into the schools to look for the bright children. The bright children are being pushed aside as though they're the real freaks of our society. Did you know that? And I'm speaking as a former teacher. There's a lot to talk about. Maybe I should just forget it all, right? Maybe I should just ignore it all and just say it's all a wonderful world. It's a wonderful life. Let me tell you something. This is very serious business that I'm in. This is a very serious business. We don't have another party in power. We don't have a party with a slightly different social agenda. We have the most extremist, anti-American administration in American history. And unless they're stopped, unless their machinations are halted, unless they're turned back on illegal aliens being made into instant citizens, there will be no America left. We'll be nothing but a third world nation. We'll be nothing but a third world nation for the next 150 or 200 years. There is no way to deny that. None whatsoever. None. There is no precedent in the world for a nation to accept 30 million illegal aliens into their nation and change the demographics of the nation forever unless that nation had lost the war and been conquered by a foreign power. That's the only time the demographics of a nation have been altered so rapidly. And they've done it through very, very clever manipulations. And so I don't want to spell it out for you because I've done so on a daily, almost daily basis on the Savage Nation radio program. I've written over 29 published books. There are many books that I've written that haven't been published. And one day you may see them. Maybe you won't see them. Maybe they'll see the light of day. I've written two best-selling novels, Abuse of Power and A Time for War, with Jack Hatfield as the protagonist. He's the good guy, the superhero. And this May, I have a third in the series coming out called Countdown to Mecca from St. Martin's Press. It's a twist in the plot that you'll never predict. Because one thing about Michael Savage is you can't predict what I'm going to do next. And what I'm about to do next is take some calls on the Savage Nation. How do you feel about President Obama blackmailing? It seems to me he's been blackmailing Menendez. And then finally dropping the hammer on him today, saying they're going to seek prosecution against him finally, simply because this senator disagreed with him on Iran getting nukes and on the fact of restoring relations with the prison island of Cuba. And it leads you to ask, who else is Obama blackmailing? Who else in the Democrat Party is being blackmailed? Who else do they hold things over the head of in the Republican Party? Who? I mean, I don't know. Let's take some calls on the Savage Nation, WJR in Detroit. One of my greatest stations, by the way, in the Cumulus family of great stations, is WJR. Now, it's not, you know, I'll tell you what, it's a funny thing about JR. In all the years I was in radio till I joined Cumulus, I was never on in Detroit. I wanted to be on in Detroit. I was on in New York on another station. I've been on in San Francisco off and on for 20 years. I've been on in Texas on many different stations, and I love the people in all these markets. But one market I could never get on is in Detroit. And it's a very important market for America in that it's a bridge between the East and the West, and the people who call seem to be very motivated in so many ways. I'm not trying to butter up JR. It's just a great signal. So let's go to the flamethrower, WJR Detroit. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hello, this is Mark from WJR.
Okay, go on. And what's on your mind, Bart?
Hey, you were talking about people with addictions. And I agree. If you're going to quit something, you got to go cold turkey. You just got to quit doing it. I quit drinking almost, it'll be 30 years, end of this month. And I didn't stop the first time, but I just kept trying. And I finally did it on my own. I never been to an AA meeting.
Oh, you didn't need substance abuse treatment from the Obama doctors?
No, sir. Nope, I don't.
No, because the only thing that works is willpower. A person has to get so disgusted with themselves, and they have to hit rock bottom and then say, I'm a piece of garbage, and I don't want to be a piece of garbage anymore. Then they'll climb out of the gutter. That's my knowledge of it. Isn't that what you're saying?
Well, I can't say that I hit rock bottom, but what I did is I looked at the path I was on, and I looked at my son, and I looked at how my father was. And I said, this has got to stop somewhere. Otherwise, I'm going to end up like my dad, and my son's going to end up like me.
So you wanted to break the you way. Wanted to you wanted to break the chain of alcoholism.
Great.
Well, thank you very much for sharing it. But it was done. The point is, this gentleman just called and said, yes, I stopped drinking because I wanted to stop. I didn't need a doctor or AA. Now, having said that, I happen to know people who go to AA and find it very useful. It's as simple as that. But we're not talking about AA. We're not talking about that at all. We're talking about Barack Insane Obama now extending substance abuse and mental health care into Obamacare, which will not only drive the costs beyond what they already are projected to be. I mean, the Unaffordable Care Act is already crazy. It will be unsustainable ever. And it's not just for basic care now. It's for every possible quirk in the human mind. That's now going to be so-called treated by the doctors now. You hear this? So I pick up the local paper here. I'm still sort of on vacation. Sorry, me on vacation. I was on the show live 4 days a week. That's my vacation. What's vacation for me? My vacation is using my brain. That's my vacation. So the front page of the Palm Beach Post is very interesting. Iran is leading the fight in Iraq. The West watches with concern as Iran's growing influence sets off alarm bells. Now, what do you mean the West watches? You would think that our great esteemed leader would be noticing that, wouldn't it? What did I predict in my book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, when Bush was invading Iraq? What I said was, if this backfires on us, what could happen would be a disaster for the world, which is that Iran will overrun Iraq and you'll have a Shiite kingdom raging in the old Persian Empire, in the territories defined by the ancient Persian Empire, which ran through Iran and Iraq. There was no Iraq in ancient times. It was all Persia. Right to the river. Right to the Tigris River. It was run by Iran. So you have to ask yourself, why is Obama now working with Iran, allegedly working with Iran, to overthrow ISIS? It doesn't make any sense, does it? Or does it? I'll let you think about it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com. You know, you think, am I playing it already? Till they get to the lyrics. All right, turn it off. You know, I've told the guys a million times, if you play a song, start with the lyrics. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Here are my lyrics. We've been talking about Obama blackmailing Menendez for over 2 years now over some very minor allegations here about he took an airline flight with a donor, da-da-da. It was in order to blackmail him. So finally, because Menendez stood up to him on Cuba and on Iran, boom, they announced they're gonna bring charges against him. So that's topic number one. It's a big story. We talked about the affirmative action woman put into the Air Force is now changing the rules to make sure that people who can't fly sit inside airplanes and pretend they're flying. In the next hour, I want to talk about France. I want to talk about the far-right party Le Pen and what their ideas are to save themselves from the scimitar of the radical Muslims that is threatening to cut their throats.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Now we've been talking about the apparent blackmail of Senator Menendez of New Jersey by the Obama regime, holding over his head some rather minor charges for the last few years, dropping the hint today that the so-called Justice Department, a wholly owned subsidiary of the radical regime, will bring charges against this Democrat liberal senator from New Jersey simply because he stepped out of line with regard to criticizing Obama on Iran and on Cuba. Which leads us to ask, who else might this administration be blackmailing? Well, there's no answer to the question, because they do everything in the shadows, everything in the dark, everything in the night. And so that's where we stand. The most vicious administration in the history of the presidency, willing to crucify one of his own, the top-ranking Hispanic, no less, simply because this guy stood up and spoke out on positions that he found to be important to him. We also talked about treatment being added, you know, Affordable Care Act, expanding mental health and substance abuse benefits. I totally disagree with that. Number one, most of it is so expensive and it's unlimited in its duration. Do you know anyone who goes into mental health treatment and gets cured? I don't. I know a guy who's about 60 years old in London, a rich kid, never worked a day in his life. He's been going to a psychiatrist 4 days a week for his entire life. It never ends. He's got the money inherited from his mother and father. Never worked a day in his life. Goes to a shrink 4 days a week to sit and fetch and complain about this and that. My father didn't love me. My mother looked at me the wrong way. And once during toilet training, I heard my father burp in the other room. And because of that, I have constant stomach pain. And then my mother walked by while my father was yelling at me. As a result of that, I have a problem with women. And because of this, I have a girlfriend, but I don't like her. And I had a wife with a son, and I ditched him. Although my son's nuttier than I am, and I'm crazier than my father. It's because I haven't had enough mental care. And if I get a little more mental health treatment and a little more abuse and attention from them, then suddenly I'll be better and I'll be able to go out and get a job of flipping Camel burgers in Syria. I never saw anything like this. Goes on forever. It was invented by Freud as a con in order to keep people coming back. Never cures anybody. Okay, see a therapist once in a while if they're smart. I look upon therapists as coaches, life coaches. And if they have some ideas that are better than yours to help you, good. But in order to know that, you have to know how their life is doing, and you're never going to find that out. What, their life is always better than yours? You know, I love what, I think it was Freud wrote it, or Jung. I think it was Jung, I'm not sure. What was Freud? Who remembers? I can't remember. I read them all years ago. I read Freud. I read all of Freud, all of Jung, all of Adler. And I once considered a career in psychiatry until a doctor talked me out of it. It was when my father had had a heart attack, and, you know, we had no access to people of education at that time. So the doctor who would come in the house to treat him from time to time was like a hero to me. He was a tall, thin guy. And I told him proudly I was thinking of becoming a psychiatrist. You know, as a kid, and I think I was in college, you try things out. You know, I'm going to be a pilot. If you can't fly a Cessna, you think you're going to be a test pilot. You try it out as a kid to see how it sounds. So I said, I would like to be a psychiatrist. And he looked at me quietly and he said, why would you want to listen to people's problems for the rest of your life? That was the end of the career. So about 6 months later, he came back to treat my father again with an EK electrocardiogram in the bed. In those days, they brought it to the house. And I said to him, well, I think I'm going to become a dentist. So he looked at me and said, why do you want to put your mouth in smelly mouths for the rest of your life? That was the end of my dental career. And as things worked out, it worked out pretty well. But I'm saying this is, you know, like, it's real life 101. So in this hour, I want to move on to a different topic, which is an astounding jump in the polls in France by the so-called far-right party under Marie Le Pen. Now, they're being smeared the way anyone who was a conservative in this country is called a Nazi, a racist, or this or that. Marie Le Pen is a nationalist. Make no mistake about it. Because she is a nationalist who loves France, she is hated by the socialist scum who have ruined France and exposed them to the Islamic sword. So listen to what Ms. Le Pen has to say. She says, I'm not here to run a boutique. I'm here to reach power and to return it to the French people. Did you hear that? I'm here to reach power and to return it to the French people. That's my role. Constantly in motion and seemingly in a rush, she tends to sit on the edge of her seat, fiddles with her pen, combs her fingers through her blonde hair, or inhales on her electronic cigarette. Much of the slimy political class in France, which is about the slimiest political class in the world still considers our party a xenophobic party because they pander to the third world as who they've flooded into the country. But here are some of her solutions to the problems of France. She sneers when asked to judge the government's plan to tackle homegrown jihadism. She said it's nonsense. And so she rattles off her own list of hardline measures to stop the jihadists, which include a zero-tolerance policy toward attacks on French secularism. That would mean no Sharia law, no Muslim holidays, enforcement of French-speaking preachers in mosques. That means no Arabic in mosques. You're in France, speak in French, or go back to your hellhole. And stripping dual nationality jihadis who fight abroad of their French citizenship. Why wouldn't that work in America? Why shouldn't we have that in America? What would be wrong with that? She goes even further. Further, Ms. Le Pen wants a radical overhaul of French foreign policy in which relations with Syrian President Assad would be restored. Listen to this. And those with the likes of Qatar and Turkey, which she alleges support terrorism, reviewed. She would downplay relations between France and Turkey and Qatar. Now listen to this. She goes further until you see why she hates Obama and why he hates her so much. She calls the U.S. the, quote, the most discredited power in the Middle East region. Now, you know she's not a fan of Hillary Clinton because Hillary Clinton destroyed the Middle East. Hillary Clinton with her Arab Spring plan, the architect of that was probably Zbigniew Zabrinsky, the hater of the Jews, in my opinion. It was funded by George Soros. They wrecked the Middle East. So she sees it. She says the U.S. is the most discredited power in the Middle East region. And she goes further. She says the U.S. cannot be seen as a partner in the global struggle against jihadis. She said only defeating the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, known as ISIS, will only be achieved by involving Russia. She sees the world the way I, Michael Savage, see it, by the way. And there's a lot more I want to tell you about because this woman is so smart. On Ukraine, too, the French government, she says, has largely followed the wrong policies, blaming the EU for provoking the crisis, right, and the U.S. for encouraging a rupture with Moscow. Listen to what this brilliant woman said. Rejecting Russia, as we are stupidly doing, is throwing Russia into the arms of China, and we will have reason to kick ourselves for it, says Marie Le Pen. Now listen to this. She says Moscow is looking to build ties with political parties in Europe, which is causing a source of anxiety in EU capitals. But she says it's perfectly legitimate. Perfectly legitimate for the Russians to want deeper ties with the EU. To expand her base among the working class, Marie Le Pen, supposedly a far-right politician, uses themes from the left. She champions public services and presents herself as the protector of workers and farmers in the face of wild and anarchic globalization. She says they should leave the euro. That would mean the end of the eurozone. It would allow France to boost exports with a weaker franc. And she explains how that would work. And I don't want to bore you with that because we're not ruled by the EU at this point. And listen to her last line. Is her party ready to rule? She shrugs and says, it's not experience that France needs. We need to get out of the system. We're in a system that is a little rotten. We need a fresh pair of eyes. Now, here's her statements on immigration and jihadism. Tell me if you agree with her. Anarchic mass immigration over the past 25 years has created places where the French Republic has retrenched at the benefit of religious laws imposed by a few. There's a link between immigration and radicalization. Amen. Anti-Muslim sentiment. She says there is no Islamophobia in France. There aren't any anti-Muslim acts, or no more than acts against women or short people. But there is a rise in anti-Semitism. That's the so-called right-wing Marie Le Pen. You hear this? Vladimir Putin. She says Putin is most probably an authoritarian leader. But is it possible to govern Russia without being authoritarian? To reject Russia the way we do is pushing Russia into the arms of China, and we will kick ourselves. The woman's a genius. On her father and party founder, Jean-Marie Le Pen, who, as you know, espoused anti-Semitic rhetoric, listen what she says about her father. It is like the weather in Brittany. It's sunny several times a day. It rains several times a day. He's a character. We talk. We sometimes disagree. This woman is a genius. On Germany, she says, I'm not against Germany. I think Germany defends its interests. What I see is that France does not defend its interests. And then, of course, she's attacked by Francois Hollande, whose ratings are in the garbage can, as you would expect. And in 2014, her party won 25% of votes in European elections and have made big gains in local elections. If you look at France, which is in many, many ways a very important place for us to look for the ideals of liberalism and where they've landed, in the 2017 election polling in the first round, Sarkozy is pulling 33% of the vote. She's pulling about 25%, and Hollande, the socialist anti-Frenchman, is down to 15%. He has almost destroyed France single-handedly. So that's why I say let's look to Marine Le Pen, who laid out her vision to govern France. And I'll ask this question. Where is America's Marine Le Pen? Why do we not have a true conservative party in this country? Now, I talked about this for years, about creating a nationalist party, and many of you loved it. I know that there are millions of people listening to my program who would gladly contribute to a third party, support it, work for it around the clock. But I then decided later on it would be a surefire way to destroy any hopes to rein in the insanity of the left-wing fanatics in the Democrat Socialist Islamist Party of Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi. And so a third party at this time in America would be a catastrophe for those of us who see the disaster called the Obama administration. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com. Is Michael Seashell live from a hidden location on the East Coast for one more show. And looking at the most vicious fanatic in the history of the presidency, who is ruling perhaps in a more vicious way than Putin. Putin is called a dictator, and rightly so, but this one gets away with it, making believe he's in favor of democracy. Today, he crucifies a Democratic senator who disagreed with him on Iran getting nukes, and we played that sound cut dating back to January 21 when Menendez said that it sounded like he was reading talking points from Iran, meaning Obama. Now we're going to have for you soon his criticism of Obama's opening up trade links with Cuba, saying Cuba trade rewards brutal behavior. So as a result of Menendez daring to stand up to Emperor Zero, they're going to bring charges against him using the FBI as a prosecutorial tool along the lines of the way other dictators use their justice departments, so-called, to persecute their political foes. Phone number here is 855-400-7282. You're listening to the Savage Nation. Now, normally Friday shows are, you know, throwaway shows. People just have fun and they blow off some hot steam, hot air, whatever. But when you see that this juggernaut called the Obama administration keeps on pushing and pushing and pushing its perverse failed agenda down the throats of the American taxpayer, you have to understand that you must stand up and be counted. You can't let this go on. They were put out of business at the ballot box. Any other president would have noted, okay, look, in order to save my party and to order to conform to some of what the American people really want, I'll move to the center. Instead, this illegitimate presidency moved to the farther left. It's as though a crazed college teacher took over the country. It's as though some crazed left-wing college administrator suddenly became president and is trying to push her policies down our throats. Every crackpot idea that is being forced on your children at these institutions of lower living is being forced down the throats of the American taxpayer. So here we are again. Let's go to WABC. I haven't taken enough calls. WABC, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Mike. I'm Joe from New Jersey. I'm listening on WABC New York. I want to talk about Bob Menendez. He's my senator. I'm a Democrat, but I'm more of a moderate Democrat. Obama and the communist government of Cuba now want normalization, whatever that's supposed to be. But when the communists came to power in Cuba, there's a lot of people who now live in New Jersey who had to flee Cuba, and they lost all their land. The government of Cuba just confiscated it. And all along, Menendez, ever since he's been in public office, has been a strident anti-Castro man. And number one on his agenda, if you're going to think about normalization, would be, when is Cuba going to give back all of the property to the Cubans who had to flee to America?
In other words, why didn't Obama demand something in order to give something? Why is it he gives away the store every time he walks out of America? He went to China, worked out an agreement on climate. They smiled with a big smile. They came back. They did nothing, and he gave away our future. So what did he get from Cuba? Nothing.
Constantly.
Well, let me ask you something. Are you of Cuban descent?
No, I'm not, but I have Cuban friends who lost land.
Of course. I understand what communists do. This one does it through attrition. That one did it overnight. I get it. Obama takes away our property rights through a series of small steps. In Cuba, they just did it overnight. I get it. I know it's the same mentality. It's like blood brothers, kissing cousins. How come you listen to the Savage Nation if my politics is so different from yours?
I don't think that we're too different, but it seems to me that Obama and his friends in Havana want to get Menendez out of the way so that they can silence him and keep all the land and do whatever they want to do.
Oh, you made a very salient point, and I certainly appreciate you're listening so intently to the Savage Nation on WABC. I'll be right back. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So we're talking about Cuba all of a sudden because Senator Menendez in New Jersey didn't like Obama's cozy relationship with his dictatorship. Opening up relations without Congress, going around Congress again, reaching out to these dictators, getting nothing in return. And as a result of that, or as a result of him criticizing him on giving Iran a lot of leeway to develop nukes, Obama's decided to pull the trigger on prosecuting him for some alleged crimes he committed in campaign donations, flying on an airplane, and then paying it back. Do you know how many senators fly on friends' airplanes and don't pay it back? So it's selective enforcement, obviously. They were blackmailing him, in my opinion, all along, Menendez, and they couldn't control him. And it leads us to ask, who else is this administration blackmailing to keep them in line? I mean, it's a shocking question to ask. I realize it, but it's common sense when you have a dictatorship raging out of control. What else would you call it, you idiots? Now, listen to this. Listen to this. As soon as my curtains stopped coming down to block the sun from hitting me in the eye, someone hit it outside the studio who I'd like to cut their fingers off. I guess they go down automatically. I have to wait now 3 minutes because I'm in a hidden location where the sun can blind you. All right, we're finished already. You ready? You done? Our special little gnomes are running around lowering curtains. Listen to Menendez from a year or so ago on Cuba and how he disagreed with Obama.
I think the president's actions have created a challenge for us globally. There is no equivalence between an international aid worker and convicted spies who were found guilty of conspiracy to commit espionage against the United States. It's a fallacy to believe that Cuba will reform because an American president opens his hands and the Castro brothers will suddenly unclench their fists.
All right, so you could see he was obviously a senator and is of integrity. And as you well know, dictators don't like independent minds. They want stooges. As you know, in the ancient days of Rome, when the Senate became a tool of one of the Caesars, if one of the Caesars dared speak up, one of the senators dared speak up to the ruling Caesar, he had him removed and in those days executed. And then in one case, one of the dictators, one of the Caesars of that time, installed a horse in the chair of the senator. I think it was Caligula. And he said, the horse has more sense than the senator does. And the rest of the senators laughed because they knew they would be next. So after they get rid of Menendez, maybe they can put a horse in his chair. in order to send the signal to anyone else who may want to stand up to the emerging dictatorship. That's too lyrical. Turn it off. That's not playing right now. I can hear in my head how the audience reacts. It's a genius I have. It's a great song. But he was singing Me Voy a Marón because he wanted to get off that island after Castro took over. And there was a rumor, like an urban rumor in Cuba, that he died, Benny Moré died swimming off the island to get away from that monstrosity called the Castro regime. Do we have another one? Bajito, De Verdad, anything like that? Just for a minute before I have to go back to talking, I'd rather hear some Cuban music. Play any Cuban music before I have a stroke. This is the standard old cha-cha-cha. Do you have any, do you have any of the other really fast charanga? Xavier Cugat, I didn't like it. That was the parents' generation. There were too much things on the arms, like feathers moving around. It was not, he was not cool. Xavier Cugat was never like cool in my generation. I would stand by the bandstands and watch the players. I couldn't believe they could make music coming out of a wooden instrument like that. Okay, turn it off. So I'm going to just give you a little side story. Big deal. It's a Friday afternoon. So I remember once one of my heroes was a Cuban musician. I swear I forgot his name. I just can't remember it at all. But he played the wooden flute. He was Fajardo, Jose Fajardo. He was a heavy set guy, and he could make that instrument sing like a bird in the rainforest. So I was a very timid teenager. I was a young man, 18, 19. I used to go to these dances in Manhattan, the Palladium and this and that. So I took him on the side during a break, and I said very quietly, I said, Mr. Fajardo, how do you get those melodies? Where do they come from? I don't know whether he was pulling my leg or not. He looked down at me, and he said, I listen to the birds in the trees. I don't know. Maybe he was telling me the truth, because after that, if you listen to the birds in the trees, they do play beautiful songs. You know that? The songs that birds play are quite interesting, and I wonder how many of them have been listened to by musicians through the ages and turned into some of the most remarkable melodies that we know to be that written by humans. I don't know. I really don't know. So now play, it would be perfect if I had some timing here. Now play something with a flute so I don't get a triple migraine. I got a double right now. Give me a flute song. Anything with a flute. If you don't have it, okay. I'll just spit up blood for the next segment. Yeah, play the same one. That's all. I only got a triple migraine with Balt. Yeah, it's no good. It doesn't sound good. I'm sorry. What else do we have in the Cuban music thing? Because I'm into this now. Do you have any Fajardo? Do you have any Johnny Pacheco? I'll even take some bad salsa music. Dance. Now picture this aqua theater. It was like on the edge of the ocean on a promenade. And the waves were smashing again. Picture it at night, moonlit night. Waves are smashing against the promontory on which this band shell was built. And this Panamanian band, all black guys, all Africans, were playing inside the band shell. And they were playing this almost identical music because Afro-Cuban music is certainly African in its roots. And what I loved about it was not only the music, obviously, that's what I'm talking about, it, but the families were there. All the families were out together, the old and the young. And, the younger people would be dancing. But I'm talking children would be asleep on the seats. And the grandpa would be sitting there, and the grandma would be smiling. It was a whole different world in Cuba, in the Caribbean, rather, in those days, because it was a family-oriented situation as opposed to just simply a club scene where people went for drug, sex, and rock and roll. It was a different world. But I remember seeing the children and the grandparents, and I thought what a wonderful culture that was in Panama at that time. Anyway, just a memory, a little slippage of the mind as I sit here on the Savage Nation thinking about Cuba. And what a beautiful, beautiful people they are, and how they have been imprisoned for so many years by this gang, and how this government under Obama would legitimize their imprisonment is astounding and get away with it. And the next day we read, Marriott's rushing to build a hotel there. You talk about soul, you talk about heart, you talk about integrity. Nothing. Nothing means anything to the corporations at a certain point. I feel like the Michael Corleone character in GF2 about to flee the tropics. Take the first boat out of here and get away from this humidity. You can die from it. But 3 nights I had wind, I could sleep at night with no air conditioning. Last night I woke up, it was like a bad movie. The fan wasn't moving. Everything stopped. You could hear and you wake up sticking to the sheets. You don't believe it changes like that overnight. And it's only February. I was dying for some cold, a touch, a wind, something. Nothing. What was that movie, Apocalypse Now, where he wakes up with the fan over his head and he crashes his hand through the mirror? It was like one of those scenes. That's the problem with me in Florida. I come to Florida, I can't wait to leave it. Then months go on, and I say to myself, I'm never going to go back, and eventually I want to go back. Then I come back, and it's so beautiful you could cry. And I told you the first night I got here, I woke up Monday morning, I prayed to God in a way I hadn't prayed in a long time. I mean from the heart. You know, we can all pray, but unless it's sincere, it doesn't mean anything. I literally got on my knees with tears in my eyes about the beauty God had created. And you see the essence of creation in the tropics when you see a sunrise and the weather's perfect. And it's like, holy God, how did God do such a thing? And then by the third day, it was like I felt I was in the opposite from heaven. That's life. I used to read about, it was Henry Miller and his friends, the great author, would sit in Monterey or Carmel with his friends and dream about going to Mexico. And they would drink their wine and talk about what they were going to do when they got to Mexico. And they planned it for months. They'd get to Mexico, then they would sit on the cliffs drinking wine and talking about how life was going to be great when they got back to Monterey. I guess that's the human condition, right? Always coming and always going and always dreaming of someplace that's better. 'Tis a far, far better place that we go than we have ever gone. And let us pray that we get there. This is the Savage Nation. We're talking about Menendez being thrown under the bus by Barack Obama, and he's a Democrat, simply because Menendez dared stand up to him on Cuba and Iran. I wonder who else will be next in the Democrat machine. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk. Borders, language, culture, and here he is, Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of The Savage Nation.
Unless we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ.
What a liar. This guy is sickening. Either he's mentally ill or he's such an America hater, it's frightening. This is the rhetoric coming out of the radical Islamist mindset. Do you know that? We read the other day that he had a group of Muslims, secret group of Muslims in the White House, that he finally released the list. This is their rhetoric. This is the rhetoric that passes for university talk these days. This is the rhetoric of America haters. This is the rhetoric of radical Muslims. I mean, let's not split hairs. Whatever happened to a conscience of a nation that says enough is enough? The man is exhibiting all of the pathologies of an America hater that you would expect from an America hater. What is he doing in the White House? You say, well, there's nothing new under the sun. She says, well, how did he get there? How does he stay there? How? Brian Williams and cohorts. I rest my case. Could a man of this low ilk and of this hatred for this country have gotten where he is? Was it not for these suits? No. Impossible. So don't tell me this is a new story. Brian Williams lied about Katrina. Brian Williams lied about being a war hero in Iraq. You're shocked by that? Well, let me remind you of something. Back in 1998, Michael Savage, local host, KSFO, gave a speech at the Commonwealth Club, Beware the Government Media Complex. You think things have changed? Robert, play a piece of that speech right now. Beware Michael Savage, 1998.
Beware the government media complex. I hope to prove to you over the next period of time that perhaps never before in American history has there been so cozy a relationship. And this, by the way, transcends right or left, has nothing to do with race, has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with press freedom. And I want to state that from the outset. I believe that today we have a relationship that is too cozy between government and media. Many of the speeches that are given before the Commonwealth Club, many of them, are picked up and rebroadcast by the local NPR radio station. Do you see any NPR people here? No. Many of the speeches given before the Commonwealth Club are transmitted on C-SPAN, which is paid for by the cable companies. Do you see any C-SPAN cameras here? Beware the government media complex. You know, the media, ladies and gentlemen, as you well know, is needed by you and by me, by the public, very badly needed, to be and to remain a thorn in the side of the government. In order to keep the government relatively honest, you need a media that's constantly poking at them. However, when the media instead becomes a thorn in the side of the skeptical private citizen, the media then becomes an arm of the government. Beware the government media complex. When agitators for the homeless riot, when they burn trash cans, they break the law, but they're held up as freedom fighters for the poor by the left-leaning press. But if one compassionate conservative dares to speak out, he's condemned to the gulag of media silence, the gulag of media exile. This startling bias in the media is more threatening to the pillars of our republic than even the most ardent conservative might believe. It is censorship by default as well. What do I mean by censorship by default? Where the commercial interests of the media moguls are so intertwined with government policy as to create an overly friendly image of government officials and their policies. So it may not be as clear as a conspiracy to bias the news, but it comes out to be the same thing anyway. Now, this bias is not limited to the left. It is largely a product of left-wing bias when it comes to certain social issues, such as affirmative action or gay rights. But the right also biases the news when it wants to shade fiscal issues to their benefit. I first began this file on the government media complex about 3 years ago. I noticed an alarming bias occurring, and I knew that without correction, this could sink the ship of truth. Now, surely other administrations have had their friends in high media places, but still, there were many voices and many views of dissent which found their way into the national media. But now we have a growing media blackout of some serious crimes and misdemeanors, all unsolved to the satisfaction of those with critical powers of reason. We know about these events because the dam of silence has cracked. But owned media hacks and hackettes apply their journalistic bondo with the excitement of fruit flies dancing on a rotting tomato. And who has paid for their crimes and misdemeanors? And who is being blackmailed?
The schmucks in the media saying Islamic State claims American hostage killed in bombing in Syria. Why would any American journalist run a story like that? Now suddenly you're going to take the word of ISIS as a lead story to smear Jordan? This is how low you have fallen, Todd and Brian and all of you in the media? This is how stupid you are that you're feeding Nazi propaganda as the truth? And by the way, what if it is true? What if she was killed by the Jordanians who stood up for their country, you morons, you? You idiots, you. They were using her as a human shield, you evil idiots. You know, when idiocy reaches this level in the media, it is not approaching evil. This idiocy is evil itself. The idiocy of the media reporting the story over and over again is evil itself. This is while ISIS is killing, torturing, and raping children in Iraq, according to the UN. The best that the morons in the media could do is say, Islamic State claims American hostage killed in bombing in Syria. Well, if they did, they were using her as a human shield. Now you're feeding Nazi propaganda to the American people. Why? You want Jordan to not protect themselves and their honor? The way your president is behaving? Is that what you want? Is that it? Is that your end game? You want the king, King Abdullah, who's behaving like a real man and a real warrior king, as opposed to our thin man? That's what you want? You want him to behave like the wimp that we have in the White House who saves his most hatred for the Tea Party, Republicans, conservatives, and Christianity itself? That's what you want to happen in the world? Answer, yes, of course. That's who they are. That's who all of the cousins of this guy Williams are. They're all identical. They're all the same. And they're digging themselves deeper into the Siberia of reality here. Comparing the Crusades and slavery to ISIS executions, that's what the president does? He talks about the Crusades? 700-800 years ago was the last Crusade. And when he was a new president, this character dismissed the idea of American exceptionalism. He said that the Greeks think their country is special, too. He labeled the Bush-era interrogation practices as torture. He went on and on. Still fresh in the minds of most sane people. At a time when the world is reeling over Nazi Islamism, he points to his fellow Christians, if you want to call them his fellows, who consist, America's 75% identify as Christians, and he turns to them and he says, oh yeah, lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ. Now, this is so evil, it's incomprehensible. First of all, let's start with the truth. What were the Crusades? The Crusades were the Christians' reaction to hundreds of years of provocation and land grabbing by Muslim invaders. That's number one. But you didn't learn that at NYU. The Muslims had crusaded against Christian lands, and they stole them, and they tortured people, and they killed people. So finally the Christians had had enough. Does it sound familiar? See, but the difference was in those days, the Crusades were led by wealthy men who put on armor and raised their own private armies and went up to war. But it was the wealthy men who were protecting their own lands who went to war and ran the wars. Now compare that to who we have now running the world and running America. But let's put that aside. Then he brings up slavery and Jim Crow and doesn't say one word about Islamic fascism or the monstrosity and the tragedies that they are causing. Why does he have such a disregard for this country? Why does he have such a perverted view of America? Why does he have such a distorted view of America? Why is this man allowed to get away with this? This is not just moral equivalency. This is not just wrong-headed moral comparison. This is much worse than that. This is far worse than that. Much worse than that. Because when Obama spoke a day after meeting with Muslim leaders in his first roundtable with the Muslim-only groups and taking office, he bought their bill of goods hook, line, and sinker. He believes every word they said to him. In fact, the rhetoric of the Crusades is that which is used by the jihadists. It's what Osama bin Laden used. Did you know that? Did you know that Osama bin Laden called the American military crusaders? Did you know that? Now, why would the president of the United States, the so-called commander-in-chief, call us crusaders? Why would he feed that rhetoric back into the world's ear? Well, I don't know. Figure it out for yourself. You could pretty much figure out that Cicero knew what he was talking about, if you even know who Cicero is. And I'm not talking about a pizza chain. No, he's factually wrong. He's lying. He's dissimulating. And why would he bring up Jim Crow again in slavery? Why? Why? Tell me why he'd bring up Jim Crow and slavery when, instead of talking about raping, murdering, slavery today, active slavery of children in the Middle East, according to the UN, by Islamofascists. Christian children, Yazidi children, captured off the streets, parents killed in front of them, women enslaved, raped, and the children sold into slavery with price tags on their toes, right as I speak with you. And this president chooses to attack this nation? And calls this nation those names? And there's no outrage? Oh, there's some reaction, but no outrage. Now, I want to remind you again, the National Prayer Breakfast, in which he committed this crime against Christianity, he spoke this crime against Christianity by proposing the big lie that is often used by the Islamists themselves. This president of ours, how could you not see what this is? Do you have to be a Christian to see the insult that he imposed upon this country? Why would he bring up the Crusade slavery at the prayer breakfast? Well, let me go back for a minute. The National Prayer Breakfast, as I understand it, was originally created by Christian members of Congress for a day of prayer. By Christian members of Congress. And now they invite a man in who repeats in front of these Christian people the insult that is being used by Osama bin Laden and his followers, citing the Crusades and calling them crusaders. And then throwing in, for good measure, slavery. Again, going into the voice of Jeremiah Wright. Slavery. You know, changing the voice to the preacher voice for 1 second. Did you hear the change in the voice? Play the sound and listen to the intonations of this man. If you want to, if you really want to get sick for the weekend, pay careful attention to what this man said yesterday.
And lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ.
No, he takes the most incendiary possible statement he could think of and throws it into the face of Christians. And if you remember what happened over the last few years, remember George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin? Remember how he did throw fuel on that fire? When Obama spoke of being trailed while shopping in a department store? And hearing the locks on his car, on cars click as he walked down the street? You remember those stories? How about his former pastor, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, thundering goddamn America from the pulpit? How about after the shooting of the thug by Michael Brown? Michael Brown getting shot after he tried to kill a policeman, steal his gun. Why did Obama take the side of the thug? Would you say that we have a more perfect union under this man? Of course not. This is a country more divided than it's been in my entire lifetime. This man has done everything he can to tear the threads that were holding us together apart. And by the way, it's not limited to we the people. He has taken a Cold War that became a colder war. It was almost disappeared. Russians were our best friends. We were doing business with them. People were going back and forth to Russia. And all of a sudden, we wake up. And now they want a shooting war, a hot war with Russia. And there was Hillary Clinton not 6 months ago calling Putin Hitler. There's Biden today calling Putin bad names and saying we need to go to war for Ukraine, more or less. There's McCain, the warmonger, calling for weapons to Ukraine. Where is that same passion about war against radical Islam? Why are they suddenly turning their wrath on Russia? Why? Tell me what's a greater threat to your survival. Russia's incursions into Ukraine and Crimea? Or the Islamic takeover in the Middle East and elsewhere. They're now in 17 countries. They're on a blitzkrieg. They're hardly being stopped. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com. You know how many times I have quoted Cicero? A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely. His sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims. And he wears their face in their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. So wrote the Roman orator and statesman in 42 BC, Marcus Tullius Cicero, and it was the opening to my book, The Enemy Within, by Michael Savage, written in 2000, and I don't know the year, I have it here. I can't believe it, how time has flown, 2003. If that does not describe a man who attacks Christianity itself, and also attacks our courts, our healthcare, our military, our media, our faith, our morality, our schools, our colleges, our minds, tell me what has to happen till people wake up and understand that in our time, there are traitors within. So now if we agree that there are traitors, that it's possible, let's say possible, say logically it's possible that there could be traitors within the government. We all watch the TV show on Showtime, Homeland. Oh, wow, look at that. Iraq veteran captured by the enemy, broken, turned into a Muslim, sent back to America. He's a war hero, runs for office, and now he's a congressman. But he's secretly a Muslim, has a prayer rug, and he's working for the enemy. Well, that's an interesting thing, but it's only fiction. Couldn't happen here. It can happen here. It hasn't happened here. How do you know?
Savage. This is an encore presentation of the Savage Nation.
You know, I've been studying the lost world of the Vikings because they once were dominant warriors and then they disappeared. I mean, there are remnants of Viking peoples in the nations of Scandinavia, but are they Vikings when they've been overrun by barbaric hordes that they took in for God knows what reason? The barbaric hordes they took in under the guise of multiculturalism and liberalism are fundamentally driving them out of their own countries. If you read the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, which is an ancient text in translation, here's what you'll read, Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, the end of the world. In this year, there were immense flashes of lightning and fiery dragons in the air, and a little after that, the raiding of heathen men destroyed God's church in Lindisfarne, Anglo-Saxon Chronicle. On June 7th, 793 AD, a group of violent criminals landed on the holy isle of Lindisfarne off the northwest coast of Britain. Without warning, they attacked the monastery, snatching priceless Christian artifacts for their value in precious metals. They killed some of the monks. Some of the way they took some monks away as slaves. Many they drove out naked and loaded with insults, and some they drowned in the sea. Heathen men destroyed God's church. And news spread throughout the Christian world. The Christian world was shocked beyond belief, because nobody could have dreamed of attacking a church or a monastery. It would have been thought of as a hellish crime. But now, suddenly, fear reigned in England. No coastal community could regard itself as safe. Even as far south as what is now in Germany, the terrified Anglo-Saxon monk Alcuin summed up the terror of the Christian community, which had believed itself to be safe from harm. Listen what he wrote. It is some 350 years that we and our forefathers have inhabited this lovely land, and never before in Britain has such a terror appeared as this we have now suffered at the hands of the heathen. Nor was it thought possible that such an inroad from the sea could be made. You hear? So then this German wrote that this was not merely an act of vicious criminals, but a sign predicted in the Bible of the approaching end of the world. And he cites Jeremiah, where he says, "Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land." And for the next 200 years, Europe shivered in fear at the approach of the terrifying men from the north, soon known by their more famous name, the Vikings. And so if you look at the history of empire, nations, they come and they go. Look at the birth rate in England right now. Look at the name Muhammad amongst infants. How did this happen? How did a once proud nation permit itself to be overrun like this? Well, we don't care that much about England, do we? So let's ask ourselves, how did a once proud nation called the United States of America permit itself to be invaded by a Democrat, socialist, Islamist government? Even if you look at Obama's tepid little announcement that he's going to go to war against ISIS and we're going to win, you understand it's just a fake. It's a feign. He's not really going to go to war against them, because the fact is that he could wipe them off the planet in about 3 days, according to anyone in the military who knows military affairs. He doesn't intend to eliminate ISIS. His hand was finally forced to protect the Democrat Party, period. They have an election coming up, and they want to make sure that the harridan Hillary Clinton becomes president. After all, she's so qualified. Look at the great work she did as Secretary of State. Great work in Benghazi. Great work in steaming up the Arab world and in uniting them in their hatred of the West. Great work in calling Putin Hitler. Terrific Secretary of State. You can just imagine what she'll be like as president. So, in other words, to get a historic comparison, I go back to history. I'm not saying it's a direct comparison, but I'm looking at the history of the Vikings and how they came out of nowhere, and these raiding parties attacked England and stole the treasures of the holy churches, killed the brothers, took other monks hostage as slaves, drove some of the monks into the seas. And the Vikings scared the life out of the Anglo-Saxons. They had been there for 350 years, and they weren't ever attacked like this. They don't know where these warlike people came from. And where did they come from? Where did the surprise attack come from? Never before in the history of the world have the demographics of a nation been changed without a war and conquest. Let me repeat that for those of you who are ignorant of your own history. What is going on in front of your eyes right now is the most radical change of demographics this nation has ever seen. And never before in the history of the world have the demographics of a nation been so rapidly altered without a war having been fought and lost and the invaders populating the nation. So let's speed up the history. They came and they conquered the Vikings, and then they disappeared from history soon after 1066. But where did they go? Where did these Viking raiders go? There were 200,000 of them who left Scandinavia during the Viking Age, who became the raiders, the Viking raiders, that caused all of the trouble for the Christian world. But where did they go? Well, that's an interesting story. They settled the territories they had once terrorized. They became farmers. They married local women. And they had children that grew up speaking the local language. And within only a few generations, most children of the Vikings identified themselves as English, Normans, or Russians, but not as Vikings. When you see blue eyes and blonde hair, understand there's probably Viking blood. You understand that? Check it out. And the Vikings then became nominally Christians. And instead of attacking the church, they became the warriors who defended the church. The Vikings then were transformed into crusaders, follow the bouncing ball. And they were no longer aggressive against Christianity, but they were now the crusaders against the enemies of Christianity. And some Scandinavians, they were former warrior stock, became Jerusalem farers, fighting in the Holy Land. But many of these men took part in the Baltic Crusades, which were military operations against areas of what is now Poland, Latvia, and Lithuania. But let's not get off the track. Where are the Vikings today? Well, their descendants still exist today. Genetic surveys and analysis still see heavy concentrations of Norwegian genes in the north of England, Scotland, and the Scottish Isles. Did you know the royal families of Europe, including the rulers of England and Norway, still count the likes of Harald the Ruthless and Olaf the Stout among their ancestors? Sounds very romantic, doesn't it? But what about America? Do we have Vikings amongst us? Yes, we certainly do. Toward the end of the 19th century, emigrants were leaving Scandinavia for the New World, and many of them settled in the northern United States because the northern United States, particularly Minnesota, reminded them of home. The lakes and the forests of Minnesota appealed to many of Swedish or Norwegian origin. And that's an interesting point. And you should know that. Scandinavians began to develop a sense of pride, not in being the descendants of various Norwegian, Swedes, Danes, and Finns, but in being connected to the Vikings. Did you know that? So where did they go? Well, there's a Viking spirit still left amongst American people. There was much more to the medieval Scandinavian achievement than mere raids and murders. They had a great spirit of exploration, the Vikings did. Did you know that the Bering Strait between Alaska and Siberia bears the name of a Danish-Swedish explorer named Vitus Bering? And did you know that Aldrin Crater on the Moon bears the Swedish surname of the pilot of the Eagle Lander, Edwin Buzz Aldrin? So the Vikings still exist amongst us genetically. The genetic remnants of this warrior people still exist. And yet they seem to be amongst the most liberal of our subpopulations. Isn't that strange? They bring in Somali refugees into their cities, and the next thing they wake up to is the Somali community is demanding immersion in Somali culture and language. They leave a hellhole, and the first thing they want is to recreate the hellhole in Minnesota. Why is that? Why didn't they want to become Americans? How is that possible? Why would the Viking peoples, the descendants, be so liberal? How is that possible? Where's the warrior spirit left in America? It exists, of course. We see movies such as The Last Survivor, American Sniper, and we understand that we still have warriors of all races in this country. And don't discount the Hispanic warriors, by the way, while you're doing so. Don't think I'm just glorifying blonde-haired, blue-eyed men. Not at all. I'm telling you that there's a warrior spirit in this country that is quite amazing. But there's something wrong with the picture. Why has the warrior spirit of America not stood up to what this man is doing to this country? Why has the warrior spirit not arisen in this country to stand up and say, enough is enough, we're not going to permit you to flood America with 30 million undesirables from south of the border, and I will say it again, they are the undesirables of Mexico, Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. Why else do you think those countries are so happy to get rid of them? They are the least productive members of their own countries. That's why they're pushing them into our country. So how can a country survive? By taking in people who are not productive. How? Tell me how. So if you look ahead, this country cannot survive unless immigration is stopped completely. And unless there's a national dialogue of, do we need more immigrants? What should their education level be? What should their financial requirements be? What should their health requirements be for immigrants? What sane nation on earth permits itself to be overrun by people who are either impoverished, can't work, illiterate in their own language? Who lets that happen? Certainly not a nation of descendants of the Vikings or of warriors of other races. How did this happen? Why are we all so frightened to say a word? Well, some of us do. Some of us do at great risk to our own personal sanity and safety. And we do it on a daily basis, hoping to encourage you to speak out and stand up to the radical Islamist communist left that is destroying this country. It will never, ever survive if this is not stopped. Now, we had an election in November. We said put a stop to this. We said no, no more to this insanity. We don't want MSNBC running America. We said no to this psychotic in the White House. We said get rid of the psychotic in the White House. His policies are destroying us. Is that not what you went to vote for? You know, we saw not only the king has no clothes, we saw the king may not even be the king of this country. We saw the king Hussein Obama is not acting in the best interest of America. This shady man may be out to destroy us, many of us think. And we're not all crazy. Let's say there's 30 million of us who think that way. Laugh if you will. Marginalize us, if you will. Tell us we're all crazy, if you will. Go ahead. Keep doing it. But every intelligent man and woman I have ever met in the last 6 years knows that this man is not acting in the best interests of America, nor is the Democrat, socialist, Islamist machine. They're acting as though they have, as though a foreign government has erected itself in our Congress, and is acting against the interests of the American people and of the nation itself. So we went to the polls in November, and we put in another party. We knew that we're going to have to fight with Boehner. I told you in November that you're going to have to hold your nose and go and vote Republican. Remember I said that to you in October and November? I implored you to go and vote. I take some responsibility for the Republican victory, but I also accept some of the blame for the inactivity of Boehner and McConnell. I told you that come January, the fight will begin. Remember when I published Stop the Coming Civil War? My intent was to stop the coming civil war. Do you remember what I said? This man is pushing us to a civil war. Every word out of his mouth is an attack on something sacred to this country. And it's only gotten worse in the last few weeks. It was attacking Christians for acts in the 1300s. Crusades. Jesus himself. Christianity attacked. It was spitting on Jews. When he wouldn't say the word Jewish, Jewish deli, Muslims attacking Jews, again, spitting on Christians, spitting on Jews, why? And soft-peddling Islam's invasions, why is that? No, you can't put two and two together, right? You're that brainwashed? So we elected the Republicans, but they're not doing the job we elected them to do. So now our work begins. Remember I told you our work would begin in January? We're 6 weeks late. The first hearing that should have been held should have been an investigation of Dianne Feinstein and what her links are to what entities as to why she would have outed the CIA and attacked them and destroyed our intelligence community. Why did she do that? Why? Why would they let her get away with this? Why is she walking around like she's above the law, that she's above suspicion? She's above questions about her business dealings. Why? Why is there a silence about her, for example? Senate Intelligence Committee? Dianne Feinstein? You must be joking. This woman, the contracts that people have been talking about for 20 years, the subterranean contracts that people have been buzzing about in San Francisco and L.A. for 20 years, not investigated by the Republicans. Why? Because their hands are dirty, too. Because if you start to investigate Dianne Feinstein's dealings, you have to investigate the dealings of the Republicans as well. And there's an old saying that when the Republicans and Democrats get along, you can be sure of one thing, they're screwing the American people. And that's why they're getting along. Because they've never had it so good. They're robbing us blind. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com. Now we go to the biggest lie of them all, and that is the lie about global warming, which has been debunked by now by all rational scientists. Have debunked this concept of global warming. They know it's the greatest lie in science history and also the greatest scam in the history of the world. This is like if Madoff worked for Obama. Let's go back. If Madoff had been hired by Al Gore, and Al Gore and him had a little meeting somewhere in a deli, just a bunch of folks in a deli in New York, let's say the Stage Deli. Let's say Madoff sat down, he had a nice corned beef and pickle with Al Gore, who had a pastrami and pickle. And Al Gore said, look, we need to come up with something to market now to get the idiots to kick up a couple of trillion dollars on something. What could you come up with, Madoff? I don't know. What can they do here? Let's see. I'm good on the Ponzi scheme. I don't know. What are you talking here, Al? And they're munching on a pastrami. I don't know. Something to do with climate. Something to do with the weather. What could you do with that, Madoff? I don't know. Weather. Wait a minute. Weather. Let me think about it. So I'll get back to you on that. So he comes back to him a few days. He says, I've got it. I figured it out. I was in a Schwitz last week with some of my sons and my friends, and we figured it out. Tell them that the world's coming to an end unless we rein in industry, that we cut back on, I don't know, one of the essential gases that are... It's carbon dioxide. I know it from seltzer. We just had some in the deli. I don't know, make it up. Carbon dioxide is going to destroy the world. All right, tell them everything's going to be flooded. I don't know, build on it. The way I did with my Ponzi scheme. Let's see, polar bears. Get a shot of a nice white polar bear on an ice floating around. Use emotion, fear. That's good, Madoff. So that's how they came up with the whole global warming scam. Everyone knows that with an IQ above 92.
Savage.